Good afternoon. Thank you, and sorry for being late, just arriving from London. I will go straight to the point. Happy to be here with you at the beginning of your Islamic Awareness Week, and to try to share with you some ideas about this title, which is for me quite important. I have been working on that specific field for years now, but not only. All what has to do with contemporary Islamic studies and issues, and one of them today for all of us is really our situation in the West. And by the way, I don't speak about Muslims in the West. Recently I was debating with Ayane Shiali on CNN, and she said Muslims are Muslims in Europe and Muslims in the West. And my answer was no, we are Western Muslims and we are European Muslims. And I want to explain this because it's a question of history, and this is the starting point. So this is why I left it the way it was, because for me it's really the starting point of our understanding. If we want to speak about hostility, loyalty and change and asking about our future, we have to start by changing our mind. How? By understanding something which is a dimension of history. For the Muslims were already here during the Middle Ages, and they were already in Europe. For example, one of my teachers, one of my sheikh, one have many shuyukh, and one of them is a Shatibi, who was a European Muslim scholar. And in fact, he was based in Europe. As so many, we just know about some of them because we speak very often about Ibn Rushd Averroes, saying this is the one that we know, because we think that some philosophers and some scholars think that he was very close to the European mindset, not knowing all the other Muslim scholars who are Europeans. But the point is that we have a new presence, and the new presence came between the two world wars, but also and mainly after the Second World War, and the first generation, second generation, and while we are reaching the fifth generation in many countries. In France, for example, this is the case, and in the UK, this is also the case. After four or five generations, you don't speak about people coming in as immigrants. If you keep on talking like this, you are nurturing something which is exactly the mindset of some populist parties and some far-right parties, saying them, they are coming to colonize us. This us versus them is Muslims in the West. And while now we are citizens and European citizens, we are European Muslims. What does it mean? Is there something which is a specific Islam, which is a European Islam? No. There is only one Islam as to the principles, but there are many Islamic cultures. Meaning by this that if you go to Africa, for example, the West African countries, you find people being Muslims the way we are Muslims, but they have an African cultures, and even in Mali, even in Senegal, even in Ivory Coast. Exactly the same in Asia. And all the Pakistani people, when they meet Arabs, they know that it's not exactly the same culture, even though it's the same religion. And when you look at Turkish Muslims, we understand it's not exactly the same culture, but still they are Muslims. And now we have Muslim and European Muslims. And the British Muslims, they know that they are as Muslims as the French, but not exactly with the same culture, because the French culture is not the British culture. And the British Muslims are not exactly like the French Muslims. And if we sit around the table, you can feel it. It's not the same culture, but it's the same religion. And it's now a European religion as it's a Western religion. So when the President Barack Obama was talking to the Muslims last June and saying to, it was understood as a talk directed towards the Muslims and the Muslim majority countries. In fact, it was not only this. He was talking to the Americans by telling them Islam is an American religion and the American Muslims are contributing to our society. It would be good for the Europeans as well to understand this, that now Islam is a European religion, is a British religion, and the Muslims are contributing and will contribute to the future. But to do this, it's really important here to try to understand the change that we need in our mentalities, not only the Muslims, but all of us. So if you look at the people in this room, it's very important for us to understand that we have to change our perception of our realities in the West and also in when it comes to understand Islam. So let me come to some of the points which are very important. In my last book, which is a very small book, I was asked to write a very small book because the big books and the thick books are not read. And I say it's too academic. It's the last book, Radical Reform, is a book on usul al-fiqh. And very often I meet with even with students that were supposed to have this kind of understanding that we come to the roots and we understand. And I was told, you know what, they don't read. So a small book, very simple. So, and even this one, I'm not sure that I reached the point. But in what I believe, it's really about this. It's really a book on Western Muslims. And summarizing some of the main points that are, for me, critical for today. So the first thing is, what I'm saying is that when it comes to speak about Western Muslims, European Muslims, there is something for me which is quite important. There is a two-way process, and we have to understand that we have shared responsibilities. And the first one is really this one, is that now we are in a process when we should speak about the post-integration discourse. Post-integration discourses have to stop accepting the people asking you if you are a North African, or you are an Asian, or you are someone coming from Eastern Europe, you have to integrate. You have to be part of us. Implicit is this question behind the other question, which is, what is Britishness? Or what we have now in France is a very big and national discussion about national identity and Dutchness in the Netherlands. And what is to be a Swiss. Having someone, for example, the leader of the Populist Party, the Swiss People Party, asking if it was right to give me the nationality as a Swiss citizen because I'm too much a Muslim. So you have here something which is a very deep question, which is to question the question of the people. When someone is telling you, who are you first, or are you really British? What are the British values? It's very important sometimes to be able to understand that the question itself is the trap. Question the questions. Say, no, I'm not going to ask this question because first it's a silly question. And second, I'm not only one thing. I'm many things, have multiple identities. So let me put it in that way, which is now a time not of integration, but of contribution. I'm here to give. I'm not here to integrate. And it may be that the integrative process should be to, for the surrounding society, to integrate the fact that the Muslims now are Europeans, and that Islam is a European religion. And then this time of contribution is to go from integration to contribution, is you are what you give, and as a citizen, by definition a citizen should give, is really to come with what I call the three L's that are so important. The three L's are, the first L is to be a citizen and to be European and to be a Westerner, you have to abide by the law of the country you live in. And this is something which is quite clear, the starting point of the discussion. Let us first set what we are not going to talk about. We abide by the law of the country. So the British law, the Swiss, the French, these are our laws. We don't have a problem with this. Quite the opposite. What we would like is that for these laws to be enforced equally for all the citizens. Because it may be that in theory these are the same laws, but in practice they are not enforced the same way. So in the name of a biased reading of the law, we have discrimination. Look at the job market. Look at what is happening in housing. So you are facing discrimination. This is not written in the law. This is in the perception of the people who are reading the law or using the law to promote something which is a structural discrimination. So here we are saying we are so much for the law that we want them to be implemented. And this is something that is quite important. For example, it's not new. This is something that the Muslims should You know, the problem with some of the Muslims, they think that what is happening to them now is completely new. They don't, for example, study the African-American history. The people living in America and coming saying, you know what, we are American. Don't tell us you have to integrate. You came and you brought us from there. So now we are citizens. The problem is not in the law, is in your eyes, the way you look at black people. It's the way you look at us. So the point is, this racism and structural discrimination is coming from a perception of power, not written in the law, but read in the minds that are reading the law. So it's a very important point here. And Muslims sometimes, for example, is exactly the same. When, for example, in France, I'm saying, hey, you don't want to change the law. We want you to implement the secular system exactly the way you are implementing them for white people or Christian people. Exactly the same. So abide by the law. Second is something which is really important for all of us, is the language of the country. No citizenship, no freedom without getting a good command of the language. If you want to be a free citizen, if you want to ask for your rights, you should know the language of the country. So all this old rhetoric coming from some Muslims that English or French are the languages of the kuffar, infidels, forget about that. This is wrong, this is a bad understanding, this is something which is on the defensive. We don't have a problem with languages. We don't have a problem with that. And we even are saying that even if the Arabic language is the language of the Quran, all the languages are open and opening all the hearts of the people. We don't have a problem with this. So this is something which is quite important. Freedom, equality, citizenship is based on common language. So we need to have this language. This is part of our responsibility as citizens. And we can understand that the first generations, they came without knowing the language. It's not normal. It was normal. They came first from an economic exile. So now we are the second, third, and onward generations. Now it's time to know the language and to be free citizen, abiding by the law, having a good command of the language of the country. And then there is something which is here, which is loyalty. Loyalty is something which is quite important. Loyalty is, even though I may not agree with all my fellow citizens on ethical issues, what I want is the best for my country. Why? Because this is my country, this is where my kids are going to live, this is where my future is, and this is where I want the best for the country. Loyalty is, I want the best for this country. This country is mine. And it's something which is quite important, is not to look at us versus them, is to be able to say, as all the prophets said in the past, Ya Qawmi. They were rejected, but they were still speaking about us. You reject me, but I think of us, not me among you, not me far from you, but me with you, it's us. And it may be that what you are doing to me is wrong, not only towards me, but for yourself. It's exactly the same when you are talking to a racist. You say, I'm going to change your mind because at the end of the day, it's us. My future depends only on your understanding of what equality means. It's not me against you, it's us in the name of our common future. Because if I accept that you remain a racist, or racism could be something which is institutionalized in our society, we are all lost. So it's something which is quite important. It's a perception of responsibility here, which is loyalty to the country. Loyalty is a very important L. So three L's that are important. It's a two-way process. Being able to say, we abide by the law, but we want this law to be equally implemented. One. Second, the language. And to understand that we talk the same language. We are promoting the same language. And then what we want is the better for our common society and our common future. We may disagree on principles, we may disagree on practices, we may disagree on religious issues, but still our future is a common future. So here there is something which is the starting point. With all this, the three L's are, this is the framework within which we have to think. And this is where we have to ask ourselves, okay, now we are Western Muslims, we are European Muslims, we want to build this future, and what is our future in our society? Not in the Western society, in our society. And this is a discussion that I had with some scholars, even, for example, the subtitle of a book of Yusuf al-Qardawi, I disagreed with him on this, saying I understand where you are talking from, but it's not from my viewpoint, because I live in the West, I live in Europe. And he, in one of his books, in Fiqh al-Aqaliyyat, it's a fiqh on minorities, he's speaking, أحوال المسلمين في المجتمعات الأخرى. The situations of Muslims in other societies. So that's fine. For someone living in a Muslim majority country, I understand that he thinks of us in other societies. But his other societies are my society. So I changed the viewpoint. I'm at home. And I am at home means that now I have to come with something which is my understanding of which role I should have in this society. It's a constructive, critical, and open role for all the people. Because the best among you is the best for all the human beings, not only for Muslims. This is what we get from the prophetic tradition when the Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying to all the Muslims, the best among you is the best for all human beings, for all the people. So you are here to serve. If there is something that you have to understand, and this is why I'm saying, from integration to contribution, contribution is to serve. Contribution is to give. Contribution is to be useful. Wherever you are, you should be useful. And this is exactly the very meaning of the spiritual dimension. So this is why I would say that if you come to this, I have been working at the grassroots level with Muslim communities in the West. And to tell you the truth, I started in the States. In Europe, I started at the grassroots level with people who were very much resisting this alienation and saying, no, we have to confront. They want us to forget. They want to alienate our religion, and they were resisting. But I also met from the very beginning in the United States of America people who are very much understanding that it's a political issue. It has to do with power. And these were the people that I liked, the African-American Muslims, who are very clear on the fact, don't play with us about citizenship. We know what citizenship means. It's not a question of citizenship. It's a question of perception. It's a question of power. It's a question of domination. And then we want to be respected, and we want to be treated equally. At the end, we all want to share cultures and creativity, but we also need to share power. There are people that are very ready to speak about curry and couscous, ready. But when it comes to power, it means empowerment. When you speak about, you know, I'm confident, this is home for me, empowerment. I'm not going to apologize because I am a Muslim. I'm not going to prove you that I'm a good citizen. I am at home. So this empowerment and the first dimension, which is maybe one of the dimensions which is for me problematic, has not to do with law, in fact, has to do with psychology. A sense of alienation, and that some are so scared to be visible that they want to be like all the others, invisible. I'm not here. So I would say that this is very dangerous. Because if you think that to feel good you have to be invisible, this is exactly what the populist parties want today. In my society, in my country, in Switzerland, the only good Muslims are the invisible Muslims. No minarets, we don't want to see you. The neutral sphere is yes for the synagogues, yes for the churches, but no minarets. Because the Muslims, by definition, and this is the way they were portraying in the pastor, is a silent colonization. And in fact, the minarets are like missiles coming, and with burqa, with women who are completely alienated. And you have this, you know, perception which is nurtured in a very negative way. How do you respond to this? And this is something which is, for me, a starting point. It's to come to the psychology of the Muslims, but also to be in between, to resist anything which has to do with political instrumentalization of fears. Populist party and far-right party. To resist, to be, I'm not going to accept this. But to respect the fears of the people. So people could be attracted by populist party because they are scared. So you are in between, and the political attitude is really this one. To respect the fear of your fellow citizens, but to resist the political instrumentalization of this fear. To say, the populist party, you will find me. I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be here as a political actor, as a citizen. I'm going to play my role. But at the same time, you listen to the people and you listen to their fear, why they are so scared of Islam today. This is something which is a big question. And the point is to start with our own self here. And this is why what I'm seeing now is really something which is, you know, I'm coming with the three L's and the seven C's. And the first, it's very easy, 10, 3 and 7, okay? The first C is about confidence. And about confidence is really, to be confident means what? Means really these dimensions were, as someone who understands what is the meaning of spirituality. When we speak about Islam, very often today the Muslims and the Western Muslims are no longer speaking about religion. They speak about problems, they speak about visibility, they speak about identity. But what about spirituality? What about the fact that when you say there is one God, you say this life has a meaning? I believe in something which is a meaning. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are coming from God and we are going back to God. And my point here, returning to God means this life has meaning. I'm coming with a deep question, why? And this is the first contribution. When you are in a consumerist society, when we always speak about havings, you come and you speak about beings. And in fact, opposite to what is said by so many people, you know, the Muslims are coming to undermine our very culture. Say that's exactly the opposite. We are coming back to the roots of our common humanity. Why? Not a European community of money and havings, but a community of destiny. Why? What is the spiritual dimension of this? And by saying this, you are adding to this the situation with ethics. If you ask the question, why am I here? Because there is one God. Because I believe in his message, because I'm following his messenger, because I understand that I have a role to play as what? What should be my role? A witness. لِتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. لِتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ is something which is a very important thing. To be witness to the truth or to your message before people. This is why you are on earth. This is why you are in this society. But by being, how should you distinguish, or how should you show this to the people around you, in which we are going to be a witness by coming, as I saw this when I was in the States just after September 11th, they had a stamp, proud to be a Muslim. He said, you have to put a sticker or to put a stamp on your heart, say, proud to be a Muslim. It means that you are not so proud inside. If you have to put it like this, to show it like this, it means that something is missing inside. Because at the end of the day, why should you put proud to be a Muslim? Are you scared? This is why you have to put it like this. And this is a central point. Because it was very difficult in the United States of America just after September 11. If you are not with us, you are against us. So how are you going to be? To be a witness is really this, consistency, coming with ethics. Is a distinction of morality, of ethics. It's not a distinction only in the dress, in the way you say, I am a Muslim, I am proud to be a Muslim. It's something which has to do with what? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. This is what? You command what is right, you resist what is bad, and you believe in God. And this is to say what? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِنَّاسِ. You are the best community in as much as, not like this, not in your blood. It's not because you are Muslim that you are good. Because you all know that you can meet some Muslims who are bad. Bad Muslims is not a tautology. Or it's not wrong, it's not an oxymoron. It happens. So the point here is really to be able to come with this, which is the very understanding of what it means to be a witness. And what it means to be a witness, this is the first contribution. So I was born and raised in Europe. I studied philosophy and then Islamic studies, and I went to the traditional classical teaching with scholars. I understood one thing, which is really important. My contribution to my fellow Europeans and my fellow Western citizens is really to come back to the critical question, why? It's come to spirituality. How do you get that peace? At the end of the day, salam, Islam, is not about submission the way we put it in English. It's not true. The very understanding of Islam is to try to reach inner peace. How do you get that? By getting money? By having money? By having power? It's not that. And you come back here to the central, the heart of all the teachings that you find in Christianity, in Judaism, in Buddhism. My last book, which is coming, is The Quest for Meaning, A Philosophy of Pluralism. And I'm just traveling around all these philosophies and all these spiritualities and religions to say, we have exactly the same quest. So if, because we are living in a society where around us, it's so rare to see visible practice, to talk about God, to talk about God, to come back about philosophy, if this could be our first contribution, it would be good. Not to say I'm proud to be a Muslim, but I have a question, which is completely different. I have a question. Why? Why is the meaning of all this? Why is it that we are so full of money and time in the West, where in one 24 hour, more than 1,100 people are going to be killed out of starvation in the world? Is this right? Is this the way we are dignified? We are not. We can come with an open heart just after the earthquake in Haiti. But what happened before? Why this society was so poor? Who was taking all the money and all the wealth from this country? Let us also face our responsibility. So this is where I would say that confidence is coming from, coming back to this critical question. This is where it's quite important also to understand that this visibility, the Islamic or the Muslim visibility, is not only about dress and minarets, it's a kind of ethical distinction. When you are, the way you are, to be a witness and the way you are contributing. And I would say that this is where it's quite important to come with more knowledge. And you know, you have something which has to do with the strength is coming from your heart, is not coming, and your mind is not coming from the power you have. كَلِمَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٌ أَثْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ. It's the blessed, you know, كَلِمَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ, it's the blessed word. It's exactly, it's like the blessed word is exactly like the blessed tree. It's very firm on the earth, and you have its branches rising up to the sky, but it's coming from the power, the strength of the roots. And what is said by all the scholars trying to understand this parable is saying the roots are in the heart. The heart is the roots, and then you have this tree, which is the symbol of strength and the spiritual strength. So I would say here that all this discussion for what we, when we are speaking about this, is not to speak about hostility when we are living in the West. It's a role, a contribution, where we are witness, not only for non-Muslims, but for ourselves, and to share this with Christians, with Jews, this is where, and with Buddhists, and with atheists, because sometimes, I can tell you something, you can find people who don't believe in God, and they come with ethics, and Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, people who are speaking about spirituality, and they don't have morality, they don't have value. They are forgetting the essential, and they come for, and you know, for example, look at what is happening during Ramadan. It's, you know, the month of Ramadan is a month where you should stop, think about the essential, don't drink, don't eat, think about the essential. This is the month where the Muslims are buying and buying and buying, eat and meat and meal. And this is why we have now in all the markets, we have something which have a halal meat. Everything is halal, and we are very happy. Oh, they like us. No, they don't like you, they like your money. It's a market. And it's exactly this. This is the month where we are eating, consuming much more than, it's exactly the opposite. It's becoming something which is an exotic festival, where you should do exactly the opposite. Think about it, the distortion of the meaning. when you come to the formalistic understanding and not the deep understanding of why are you fasting? Why during 1 month every year you are fasting? What does it mean? You come back to the divine dimension of yourself and you look around you and you think about the poor. This is it. This is the divine inside and the poor outside. This should be the teaching. So this is where, as Western Muslims, this should be... That's fine. I'm in my time. Very good. So, this is where it's very important here to come with this. And this is where you build a kind of confidence. Confidence is it's quite important. And the second point, which is very important when you are in this society, is really communication. And communication is something which starts with listening to the people. This is why I was saying the people around us, they are full of mistrust. They don't trust the Muslims. Because it's difficult to trust the Muslims with all what we listen to about Muslims and Islam today. When it comes to, if you don't agree with Muslims from within the community, you are very, very quickly outside the community. And you know that. If you are critical from within, are you still a Muslim? And who is going to say who is a Muslim and who is not? The critical thinking from within is something which is problematic among Muslims. And all the Muslims, they know this. It's very difficult to open a critical debate which is open to free discussion without having someone saying, oh, you are no longer a Muslim. Or saying, oh, you may be less Muslim than me. And who are you to tell me that I'm less? I'm the Muslim. So the problem here is really this, which has to do with opening up the channels of communication. And the first is to listen. To listen to what the people around us. Because it's not out of, you know, suspicion only and insincerity. People around us, very often they are sincere, they have questions and they want to listen, they want to understand. If you are in your living room and you listen, you are watching your TV and the news, of course you are scared of Islam. It's scary. And then you go outside in the streets, lots of headscarves, lots of people not so white. It's colonizing the country. And you come out and say, who are these racists? Not racists. They're asking questions. So of course people are going to play with this. If we are not coming to communicate. And to communicate is to do exactly the opposite of what the psychological attitude would be. The psychological attitude would be, I should be invisible. I'm not here. And I'm smart. And I'm very kind. I like you. You know, I'm a good Muslim. And I smile. And I disappear. It's not this. It's exactly the opposite. It's to communicate. Is to be able to listen to what the people and to listen to the questions and to respond to the question. It means if you listen to the question, you have to get the knowledge to be able to respond to the questions. There is no positive Muslim presence in the West without a level of knowledge which should be higher than the average. Because you are dealing with people having questions. You can't live in the West with the level that you have in Muslim majority countries. Because it's natural to be a Muslim, you go ahead. But here you have people coming with critical questions. What about this? What about that? What about? I say, let me ask the Sheikh. I come back to you. You can't do that. You have to get the knowledge. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Allama. Allama means he taught him the Qur'an. It's about teaching. It's not about knowing by heart and that's it. Allama. It's a question of knowledge. You should understand the Quran. And then he created human beings, and then allamahu al-bayan. He taught him how to speak. So you have to speak. But in order to speak, you should understand. You should understand the source, and you should understand the questions of the people around you. And these questions are sincere questions. You can't just dismiss it, oh, you don't like the Muslim. Of course, if every time I ask you a question, which is a critical question, say, oh, you don't like me, you're not going to love each other. You're not going to work. And many Muslims, they have this defensive attitude, which is very bad, which is very counterproductive. So here, communication, to listen and to be able to talk. And this is why language is so important. to be able, for example, I would say that for many Muslims, the first thing that they have to do in the West is to learn how to translate words. If you come to me and say, you know, Islam is about what? Submission. I'm not going to like it. Submission in English or in French or in a European language is not a good word. Submission, it means I have to be less a human being to be close to God, which is exactly the opposite of what Islam is all about. Be higher than the human being means just come with the divine dimension of yourself, not to be less, but to be more. So what are we talking about? How do you get that peace, this inner peace, which is the very root of Islam wa salam? This is it. Translation. Jihad. How do you translate jihad? Ask the Sheikh. That's it. The problem here with the translation of very simple word, and then you have the construction of the whole religious reference, which is something which the average Muslim should, and especially in our universities, the level of understanding here, this is where the critical debate should be. So this is communication, which is very important. And contribution means intellectual contribution to the debate in our society, in all the levels. So this is why we should be. So for example, it could be good when we have an Islamic Awareness Week, not only to speak about Islam, but viewpoints about social issues, problem in Britain. This is our Islamic Awareness Week, not only speaking about Islam, but in which we, through Islam, we speak about everything. We are open to all the discussions. Why do we always speak to present Islam, about Islam, as if we were defending something? No. A constructive discussion on everything. It should be open. So this is a very important point in our presence. And then this is what I call creativity. Creativity is a central concept also. When it comes to what we can produce and what we can promote and what we can give to the society around us. What is the contribution, the creative contribution of Muslims or Western Muslims today in our society? This is it. To do this, what we say now is that go to the Andalus, southern Spain, we did good job. A long time ago, and we are waiting for some people to come to do it again. In between, not enough creativity. Creativity is in all things, in us, and once again, stop putting the label Islamic on everything. Islamic arts, Islamic science, Islamic food, Islamic... What is this? We have Islamic ethics in everything, yes. But to put a qualification of Islamic on everything, it's as if Are you a medical doctor in a specific way when you are a Muslim? Are you a specific surgeon when you are a Muslim? Or are you doing the same as the best specialist in the field? Now you have an ethics, you have a vision, you have values, you have a behavior. This is what we have to contribute, this is what we have to promote. So the way we translate this, it's so important. So let me conclude here with hostility is not the right way, and we have to avoid this. We have to listen to the hostile voices, and we have to know how to resist political parties and populists, and how we have to listen to the people and to respond to the sincere questions. This is one. And now our loyalty is all about contribution, in which way we are contributing. And this is what I call the new we, with our ethics as Muslims, we come with others and we are promoting values and ethics in politics, in economy, in solidarity, in arts, in all the field. And when we have an Islamic Awareness Week and when we speak about Islam, we speak about all this. All this is part of our concern. We are European. We also speak, for example, are you going to speak during the week, by the way, about the immigrants? Are you going to speak about the way in our country, in my country, in your country, we are treating the immigrants the way where they are treating them as criminals? Remember that some of your fathers and your mothers, they came in this country and the way they were treated, this is why now you are students. But the way we are treating some of the new immigrants in our countries is just unacceptable. No dignity, nothing. And I would say that this is my concern. I'm a European. Shame. shame on some of our decisions when we treat people as criminals and we put them in concentration camps because they try to survive. And we all know, and all the governments, they know that we need them to our economic survival. So we are going to exploit them. Is this the future? So if I have a conscience, if I have an ethics, I'm going to just speak about, you know, I want you to like me because I'm a good Muslim. What's that? These are, you know, distraction, strategic distraction from the central discussions that we need to have together. The way we deal with immigrants, the way we deal with poor people. 10 million don't have a right place to sleep in France today. 10 million. And you can say, you know what? What is your identity? Who are you first? Do you think that this is the question? Do you think that you are not trying to distract me from the true question that we need all together to face the concern of this society? So I would say that if we are serious about this, and this is to be a Western Muslim, this is to be a European Muslim, is to tell to all the politicians, stop playing with us. Stop trying to divide us, on marginal issues. Let us unite on something which is the common ethical values that we have when it comes to protecting the dignity of the people. So I would say that this is why I see our future. Trying also to be good citizens and having our ethics respected is also to be able to speak about all this. And also, once again, about specific things that are not in our discussion now, but when it comes to our relationship to the South. I don't have a problem, and I'm always speaking about Palestine. I'll always say as a citizen, but I also want to speak about what is happening in Africa, the lost continent, the way the people are living there, and that the Muslims, when it comes to this, we have a very deep problem. Let me put it that way and to end with this. All of us here in this room, there is something which is deep down in our heart, that we have to face racism, that we have to face this very narrow understanding that we have of our culture. Asian with Asian, British with British, Arabs with Arabs, Pakistani with Pakistani, Bangladeshi with Bangladeshi, Turks with Turks, and Black African with Black African. Why is it that we are not together? Why is it that sometimes in this struggle we are not coming, and beyond our races, it doesn't exist, by the way, but why is it that we are not coming together? Why is it that when I come to speak in Britain, or when I come to speak in France, or when I come, why is it that we are not together? We speak about brotherhood, but when you are African with African, the African are more brothers than the others. Exactly the same with the Arabs, exactly the same with the British. There is something which is a deep sickness here in our way of speaking about morality and not being able to look at human beings the way they should be, all equal, all brothers, all sisters. Thank you.